Welcome to The Lively Show. Let's explore the beauty of being alive. Hello, my friends, and welcome to today's show. I am so excited to be wrapping up the Friendly Unknown with you. This is a little pod class, little format that I tried here on the show starting in January, and I thought it would be 30 days only, but as I'm actually about to start this new class on Sunday this week and Tuesday, I have two new classes you guys had asked for, one of them being Aligned Business, which is letting your inner voice be the CEO of your company and run it as close to 100% of the time as possible. I've been obviously living that myself, and so the Friendly Unknown pod class is a great example of where my mind thought I will do a 30-day online thing, but then the actual full of my intuition is to do the final class now, which ends up being 2 months later rather than 1 month for the class. So here I am doing it when my intuition wants to wrap it up. So hopefully this is the right time and space and place for everyone listening to the pod class series, called The Friendly Unknown. So just to catch you up, if you haven't been listening to that series already, or you're just curious about where things are, in the last 2 months, basically to the point that this episode's airing, the beginning of my whole unknown journey flowed from January 4th, 2024. And now this episode's going to air somewhat close to March 4th, 2024. So it's about 2 months. But in 2 months, my dad, went to the hospital. I broke up with a partner and then got my visa approved and needed to go to the US in Portugal by way of getting that visa process all completed. So I did all of that in the last 2 months. And the update now on all of those little friendly unknown situations for me very quickly is that dad is in rehab and my mom is looking into assisted living positions and places for him in the future. It's unclear whether he'll ever be living in a home scenario ever again, but he does seem stable and steady and doesn't seem like he's going to, let's say, die anytime exactly soon. Of course, everyone's going to die at some point, including my father, but I don't think it's going to be in any kind of ICU situation in the current months unless something really unexpected happens. So it's kind of a new normal for the family as a whole about what this, you know, next chapter of my dad's life will look like and how that obviously affects my mom and my brothers and I. So that is the update on that. And then the visa is, you know, visa in hand, waiting for my little card that's supposed to arrive at the post office soon. And I have a meeting this week, as you're listening to this, with my lawyer to talk about how to actually implement said visa. So things are unfolding there. I went to the US, got it, came back, and yeah, I'm now just living life on the new way of the visa, which I don't really know much about. I have to, like I said, have the meeting and find out more details this week. And then as far as the relationship side of things go, actually, you know, I completed a scenario and now had dated a few different guys over the last 2 months and found someone new that's very special to me. So little did I think that that was actually going to eventuate into something, you know, starting off in a new direction in that area of life, but it is, and it's going well so far. So I feel like the friendly unknown has been quite friendly, even though all of those things happened on January 3rd and January 4th to change my life very dramatically. 2 months later, things are really steady, stable, and growing. And the entire experience overall was a very friendly experience. And that's kind of switching into gears about the class and the matter in general and how this applies to your life. Remember, Darth Vader is my little mascot for this class, and there's a very good reason for it. In my girl maths version of Star Wars, Darth Vader is the representation of the unknown in all of our lives. The unknown scares the mind, and for that reason, Darth Vader, they say it's, you know, Darth Father is the reason that they use Darth Vader being father, but and obviously, he was the father of Luke Skywalker, but I'm going to call it Darth Vader Dark Matter. So the unknown potentials, is he maybe an archetypical energy for what we all experience as a mind living in linear time, that we cannot know the future, we can only experience in a linear way through the mind, not your inner voice, not your inner Yoda, but just through the inner Luke Skywalker or Princess Leia of you, through the mind. You don't know what's going to happen yet or next unless you go to your inner voice and it happens to be able to be clear enough to guide you in some direction or give you some insight about maybe what to do or to avoid or to expect. But otherwise, you're generally living in the unknown. That is a very scary thing to the mind, especially when it feels divorced or distant or disconnected to the inner Yoda, who is there to guide. And it's not that the Yoda isn't there. Sometimes there's just enough stuff on the table that you can't notice the Yoda table underneath all the stuff. So that's basically always my analogy too. Everyone has an intuition. And sometimes people ask me, well, why don't you just, you know, teach this to someone like my mom or someone that, you know, has a family member that's really difficult. And they're like, why can't I just teach it to them? And it's like, well, you know, if you're asking a 2-month-old to start walking, it's a little premature. They will be able to walk. They will have the time and the space and the capacity. And they do ultimately have the ability, maybe not at that moment in their development, but ultimately it is there, the capacity to walk. It's just not realized yet. And that is completely okay. So anybody that either has crap load of trauma on top of the, you know, inner voice table, or somebody that is very new to this reality as a soul playing in human lifetimes may not have the capacity to realize, just like a 2-month-old doesn't have the capacity yet to walk yet, does not mean it won't happen. It doesn't mean that they won't be able to in the future. But it's, you know, as we said, this is the old soul approach. If you're listening to this, you're probably one of those toddlers ready to walk and excited to do so. And that's where I need to start really reflecting on what our belief systems, especially coming from mass consciousness, that ultimately isn't that evolved forward. And it's getting better, but it's still not by far the most evolved aspect of our, you know, point of views and the potentials of this reality. But the mass consciousness belief is to be afraid of the unknown. And so if we follow that track, then we have to make Darth Vader the scary bad guy. And then we have to fight him with a lightsaber. And then we have to feel like we have to conquer the unknown. And then we have to feel like we have to pick the exact potentials that have to happen from the mind's opinions about things that it's seen others have or itself have and say, this is the right thing that should happen. And this is the only thing that should happen, instead of allowing Darth Vader, dark matter, to be something that surprises, delights us, and is greater than we even could have imagined. And that instead of fighting this dark matter, we can actually friend it in the friendly unknown and actually view him as a very cute little critter, like the Hallmark little stuffed animal that I have of Darth Vader as the picture for this series. So that's really the shift, is going into, can we look at this as actually all the blessings we've never even imagined before and more in the potentials, as well as things that we may not perceive as positive in our minds? And can we allow all the things to be there and then trust that we, if we follow our inner Yodas, that things will work out well, and that we don't have to worry about what the inner Yoda says not to worry about, and that we do get to follow what the inner Yoda of us says to do, and just let things unfold in a way that actually is naturally aligning and positive for us. That is the game. That is the game of life in so many, many ways. And it goes to so many, you know, tons of hours I've spent with clients' inner voices and what they've said, what my inner voice has said, etc. Here's one of the things I think that was the big takeaway, probably the favorite thing that I've definitely gotten feedback from on this entire series, just to reflect back. I think it was in the 3rd episode of this series, was about the duality pendulum. So I want you guys to kind of get an idea of, when I say the word duality pendulum, what does that mean? Let me refresh your memory on that. Duality pendulum. So I have really, this is obviously spiritual teachings from eons of time, have talked about duality of this reality. And I, you know, heard it and listened to it, but it's really become very prevalent and obvious in my own reality to see how this actually is such an essential element to put our attention on and our awareness onto, especially and mostly as it practically applies to our lives. So it's one thing to, you know, wax poetic in a Buddhist book, or a, you know, a monk says some amazing koan that we don't really quite understand. It's like, no, let's make this real world for you guys. So this duality pendulum, what does that mean? So the mind loves to think in black or white, hot or cold, high or low. It's a vibrational reality of basically a sense of positive or negative, up or down. It has this or that-ness, zeros and ones, that it goes between. And those two options, wanted on one end of the scale and unwanted on the other, usually is what our mind, especially when we're fearing something, gets stuck on. We get stuck on this pendulum. Now, the pendulum, why do I say that word? So if there's two things, the wanted outcome, I want the job. And if I, and the unwanted outcome, I don't get the job, you know, that kind of thing. I want the partner or I'm single forever. Those kind of dualities. It's kind of like you're swinging on a pendulum. You could think of a pendulum being the pendulum in a grandfather clock, you know, that tick tock that swings back and forth. That's a pendulum between being in a relationship or being single or having the job or not, or having a ton of money or not having any money at all. You name the duality, but it's going back and forth, back and forth. This is something that became incredibly prevalent and clear to me, especially in the empowered class when I did the victim victimizer class, because that is a pendulum that swings so much between the victim and victimizer. And actually the victim ends up victimizing and the victimizer ends up feeling like a victim. And they're just swinging back and forth between the two polarities. So when I say the duality pendulum in the friendly unknown sense, you will notice that your mind will get stressed when it thinks that one outcome is the right outcome and one outcome is the wrong outcome, or one outcome is the right outcome and any other outcome is the wrong outcome. So when you notice that attachment to one thing having to work, like this relationship, this guy has to be the one, or my dad has to live, or, you know, whatever the thing might be for you, reflect on that and notice that the mind's getting super stuck on the yes or the no of whatever the scenario might be. And the favorite thing that everybody said they loved so much was when they listened to me say that I used my own duality pendulum of the visa and the flat. Getting the flat before the visa ended up getting cleared was super stressful to my mind because it was, am I going to get the visa? Good. Am I not going to get the visa? Bad, because I have this flat and I didn't want to have to go through what I did in Australia. But I did a thing that you guys loved. I took 20 different potentials that were as good or even better than if the visa didn't work out. So if the visa didn't work out, what 20 extra things could happen that if in the case of things, the visa not working out, if I didn't get what I wanted on the duality pendulum, what things could happen that would make me bless and thank and be super appreciative that it didn't happen? What could happen? And so I just was as fantastical and fun and lighthearted and very imaginative as possible to come up with these outcomes. And as I came up with so many, you don't have to do 20. 10 is plenty, but 20 really gets you going. Kind of like it's kind of an Abraham exercise. I've never talked about it this way, but I think it's such a fun, high vibe vibrational practice to actually go the extra 10 after the first 10. Because after the first 10, your mind will start to break out of, this is the only thing out of the entire world of dark matter that could happen. This is like 20 different things. And obviously there's millions of other things that could happen that you might love even more than the duality your mind is attached to. But just even pondering 20 of those potentials, even if they're very unlikely, is super fun for the mind and just loosens the whole tangled mess up in the mind. So definitely remember to go back to that one whenever you want to break your mind free from the attachment to yes or no, the duality pendulum of whatever the unknown might be for you. In today's episode though, I want to move into one last gem for you on the subject of the unknown. And this is what I'm going to term, just for a loose, you know, way for you guys to remember it, is magic days. So magic days. Now, what are magic days? Now, this is something that I played with, especially very heavily in 2018. And I don't think I ever fully explained it on a show or a class that I can recall very fully. So maybe I've been saving this one for this moment in time to share with you. But I remember very consistently, especially around the period of 2018. It's not to say I don't do it now. I certainly do. But I really started to play with this in a more conscious and cognitive way back around 2018. And I would just surrender the spaciousness of the unknown when it came to time to my inner voice. Now, everybody here listening is going to have a completely different set of aligned experiences, schedules, family dynamics, etc. So many of you guys I know have many children and many very busy lives with businesses, families, extended families, friends, community experiences, etc. So I can't tell you specifically because everyone is in such a different state and many are super busy. But I will say, even if it can't be a whole day for you, it could be an hour, an afternoon, Maybe it will be a day. Maybe you'll be more like on me on the freewheeling side of time with my inner voice, where you'll have a whole day or a whole weekend maybe, or possibly, how fun would this be? Maybe even a whole vacation or holiday. Could you let your inner voice lead the way? Can you let your inner voice lead the way into a space of time where you have no mental idea what you're going to fill that time with? Can you totally surrender and allow your inner voice to surprise and delight you, going in completely blindly to the friendly unknown of what's going to happen within a period of time? Like I said, it could be a day, an hour, a weekend, a holiday, whatever you've got the space for in your reality. Can you set aside some time to do this experiment? Think of it truly as an experiment for yourself, nothing to be punished with, nothing to force yourself into, but something to do the experiment of what happens when I let my mind stop planning every hour of my day or every day of my week. Give myself some open space to let the dark matter and the friendly unknown create beautiful and surprising potentials for me. That's the experiment. And I know it sounds simple, but I can tell you that every time I've done this, especially back in 2018 when I started to do it consciously, I was initially feeling kind of hesitant and scared as I was doing it, because there was this trepidation in the mind about what was going to happen. And at that time in my life, personally, and I know some community members can relate to this, some don't, but I know if you've got this fear in yourself, you'll go, oh yeah, I have that too. If you don't have it, it probably won't hit home. But basically, I had this very big fear of existential boredom, of being in this reality and being super, super bored. Now, let's put context to this. I was living alone for years and years on end with my inner voice guiding the way in suitcases around the world. So obviously I had a completely different set of life circumstances than the majority of humans on the planet and most people in the community. So my intuition had kind of really thrown me into kind of like outer space. I just felt like I was this astronaut floating in the darkness, and everybody else was on Earth like having a life and doing things. And every time I tried to reconnect to having a life, my intuition would throw me back into space and say, no, no, you just stay out here and float around in space in a big suit and just see what happens. But even with that existential fear of forever I'm going to be bored on this planet by myself alone, living in a suitcase, and I'm never going to get to have a life like everybody else gets to have that I really want, that was the mind story. As I let these magic days play out, very interesting things happened. Things that I couldn't mentally have imagined, like maybe one of my favorite teachers would post something that I would get to listen to that day that I didn't know was going to come out until that day arrived. Or one day, I really want to tell you this story. So one day, I might have told the story before, but I definitely think it counts as a magic day. So let me tell you a story. Backing up to 2018, I was in Detroit, Michigan for 2 days before coming to London to get my visa. So as I mentioned, I've tried to move to London with the intent in my mind to do so twice before. And this is the first time that I was going to move to London. Australia didn't work out. So I was like, okay, well, London was always my backup to Australia. So I was thinking about coming here. And I was spending a week in Chicago and Michigan, and then had 2 days in Detroit before flying from Detroit to London. So I had these 2 days, and the only person I knew that was still in Detroit, this is before I knew my friend Jess in Detroit. Yeah, this is before I knew she existed. So the only person I knew was this guy that I went to university with, and he was a friend of my college boyfriend. And we had reconnected when I got divorced, because I found him on the dating apps really quickly. And he had divorced his wife, I think the year before Mr. Lively and I had broken up. And so when I was on the dating apps, I met him. He really liked me. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember him at the time, but then I wasn't ready for anything. So anyways, we end up reconnecting because he's in Detroit. So I say, hey, by the way, I've been traveling around for the last year or two, but I'm in Detroit for the next 2 days if you want to get dinner. So he gets dinner with me and he likes me again. This is, I'm still, my intuition's like, don't do anything with this. You're going to London. So I didn't like pursue it in any way. I just stayed friends with him, but went to these dinners. And then I had the flight on Sunday night. Sunday night, the flights often to do international flights, as you might know, are very late at night. I think my flight from Detroit Airport was 10 p.m. That's a typical time to be flying out. And then you kind of take that red eye and you arrive in the morning in the UK. So that was my plan. And I had done the Friday dinner with him and the Saturday dinner with him. And I wanted to hang out with him Sunday because I don't don't know anybody in the city and I have nothing else to do. But since I had, you know, stayed friends and followed my intuition to not actually date him, and he really liked me, he just found it more uncomfortable to hang out on Sunday, you know, with someone that he liked so much, rather than getting more connected to him. I was like, okay, fine. I respect that. So I didn't have anything to do because he didn't want to hang out that day. And I was like, all right. So I woke up in the morning in my hotel and I was like, what do I have to do? I have a 10 p.m. flight and I don't even have to get to the airport until 8 p.m. So I'm just like waking up, you know, 8 or 9 in the morning, and I had what you could call a magic day. So I was like, all right, what should I do? And I just thought of what to do. I packed the bags because obviously I was going to have to check out of the hotel, put them down in the lobby, and then I'm just thinking, okay, I think this was in the winter too. This was not even in a fun, this is like January 2018, I think it was. And I'm like wandering around. I'm like, okay, well, I need to eat breakfast. So I go to a brunch spot in Detroit. I forget which one I went to first. And I ate brunch, okay? And then I was like, what else do I do? What else do I have to do? The bags are at the hotel. There's Detroit, but like I'm alone. I don't know anyone else. The person I do know doesn't want to hang out. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go to brunch again. So I went to another brunch spot. And I always say I double brunched. I've never double brunched in my life except for that day, but I had two brunches back to back. And then after that, I could certainly not eat anything else. And I was like, all right, I have nowhere else to go eat because I cannot stuff any more food in my belly, but I have nothing to do. I don't know what to do. And this is one of those surrender moments where I said, okay, intuition, what are we going to do until 8 p.m.? And it just felt like this existential angst, even though it's really not a big deal, but it was probably 10:30 by that point, maybe close to 11. And I had until 8 p.m. And I was like, I'm just going to wander the streets of Detroit until I have to get into the airplane. So I call a friend and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm just, you know, lost and existential, like unknown. And she's like, well, you could go to a movie. You could go to a movie theater. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But there was no movies that sounded good. So that didn't work out. But all I was talking to her on the phone about how I didn't know what was going to happen. And I did this kind of surrender without knowing what was going to happen, very anxiously fearing the unknown existential boredom that might hit me at any point, I get a message from the guy that I mentioned that didn't want to hang out that day. Now, he was a real estate agent, but mostly in commercial property. And over the 2 nights that we had dinner, I had showed him pictures of the flat that I had stayed in Australia. He saw the loft that you guys used to call it the cruise ship because of the sparkling water out front. And so it looks like from my bedroom that I'm looking down on the water from a cruise ship. So I showed him the pictures and the videos of how much I love that space and place. Actually, I still had to go back, I think, after this point to go pack it all up. But that was, you know, I had left it, but I knew I had to go and pack it. I actually think I did need to return back to it, but I showed him what it looked like. So while I was talking with my friend on the phone, lamenting the fact that I didn't know what to do after this point for the rest of the day, I get a message from him and it's a link. And it says with the message and the link says, you should live here. And the link, and I click the link because I have nothing else to do after the phone call, and it's a property in Detroit. And the property in Detroit was a loft, and it looked like, in a sense, it was the same exact layout as the Sydney flat with a different design aesthetic that was more Scandinavian modern instead of the way that the Australian one was, but it was the same lofted experience. It was the same one bedroom. Well, technically, that one was actually a two bedroom, but anyways, it was just like really pretty. And of all the places, to be fair, the Midwest design, architecturally speaking, is not my style at all. There's a lot of granite, there's a lot of dark woods, there's a lot of woodsy kind of themes that often, you know, just because it matches the natural surroundings of the environment, oftentimes there's a lot of that kind of architecture around in that area, and that is not my style. So I would never imagine in a million years any place in Detroit would be my taste, but this place was the exception to that rule. It was white, it was bright, it had this really beautiful kitchen. I was like, huh, that's interesting. It is pretty. If I was going to live anywhere in Detroit, this would be the place that I would live. Now, granted, did I want to live in Detroit at that time? Hell no. I was going to London to get a visa that night. But did I have anything else to do that day at all? Absolutely nothing else to do. So he sends me this link and I have nothing else to do. So I decide, what the hell? It's a Sunday. I'm flying to London tonight. But why not just call the real estate agent and just see if I can see it? The odds of a Sunday walkthrough last minute, probably close to zero, but at least it's something to do in my existential, I don't know what's going to happen in my life boredom. So I call and the guy doesn't pick up right away. So I'm like, okay, fine. I think at that point I was at a coffee shop. I walked and walked and then was in a coffee shop. And then he called me back. The real estate agent called me back a few minutes later and he's like, hey, you know, I saw your missed call. And he said, I said, I'm looking at this property. Is there any way that I can see it? Now, a Sunday walkthrough, last minute, you know, the family's probably there. He goes, yeah, I could show you it. The family's not living in it and I can be there in about 20 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, 20 minutes. That's exactly how long it takes me to walk from the coffee shop I was at to the property address. And so I walk there and I suddenly have something to do. So I'm very excited about that. I do the walkthrough and I'm like, oh yeah, it is pretty. It is what I would live in if I was going to live in Detroit, but that's all I was kind of thinking about. And I can't even tell you, the price point was also very interesting. I didn't offer the exact asking price. I offered aligned numbers. Of course, I was going to offer aligned numbers, not the asking price. And they accepted. But the funniest thing was that all of this played out so he could see it. He could show it to me. Then I was doing this and then I was flying. Oh, then I actually called back to the friend that had sent me the property, the real estate agent friend, and said, hey, I just saw it was really beautiful. And I was asking about the area and what it was like. And then he ended up actually meeting up with me for coffee to tell me more about the area. And then one thing led to another. And I ended up getting the flight to London. And I told my intuition, like, look, I am not trying to buy a place in Detroit at all. I've only spent 2 days there in the last many years. And though I think it's a really cool place and I was loving the resurgence it was having, and my ties to Michigan from my childhood were really still very dear to me in a lot of ways, I was very relaxed and excited to be moving on with my new adventurous international life. So I said, look, intuition, if you want me to get this place, it has to flow magically and perfectly. If there's anything, any one hair that is out of place on this deal, I will walk away, because I had no attachment at all. And in fact, I didn't even want to be living in Detroit. But lo and behold, every single hair of that deal fell in place. The aligned numbers were accepted. Even the price that I'd offered on that flat in the coming 2.5 days that I went through this process was super easy. And the revenue that the company had earned to date to that point of the year was the same number as the asking price of the house that I was offering on. It just, like, those kind of things were just happening and happening. And he said, well, you're going to have to get somebody to do the mortgage for you. So here's a list of people. And so I called the guy with the aligned number. And oh, by the way, I think you guys might remember this detail. So the flat was on 444 West Willis Street. So a lot of aligned letters and numbers in the address. And next to the property, there was a boutique called the Flow Boutique. And I was like, oh my God, these signs are just everywhere, leaping out. And then as I was finding my mortgage person, I picked the person, I think, that had 444 in their phone number. And his name was Alex. And he actually, of all the people in his company is called Chemical Bank in Midland, Michigan, nowhere near Detroit. So I didn't think I'd be talking to anybody local when I picked his number, but I picked it because of the 444. And he said, oh yeah. I said, this is the property I'm looking at. I'd like to learn about how to get a mortgage for it. And he said, I saw you going into the property that day. I was like, how did you see me? You're in Midland. He goes, no, I live in Detroit and I live in 444 West Willis and I live on the first floor. And I saw you walking in with the real estate agent yesterday because I've just moved into the building myself. And Alex, lo and behold, as the, you know, months unfolded, became a good friend of mine and not only helped me with my mortgage, but actually was one of my closest friends in Detroit. So, and then I ended up dating the guy in the end that was the one that sent me the property link for a few months. And that was really funny because had I actually, I don't know, tried to date him or something in those first two dinners, instead of just being friends and following my intuition, he wouldn't have sent me the link. He wouldn't have been at home working. He would have been out with me, probably going to a movie or something, because he would have wanted to spend time with me that day. But the fact that I'd follow my intuition to not pursuing anything actually led to the property listing and the whole thing unfolded because of all these things. And the fascinating experience too is that that property, because I just, this is just on a manifesting level, not even the friendly unknown per se, but that's the one of the things that could happen in a magic day is you can end up deciding to buy without even thinking or trying to a property in a totally different part of the world than you ever expected. It's 11:44 a.m. as I said that statement. So there's some alignment in that. But that's a very big magic day that went from complete existential unknown of double brunching into a void of wandering around the city for 9 hours to, I think I'm going to buy a property in Detroit potentially while I'm in London. So I flew back. So I ended up, you know, flying to London and did do all of these property unfoldings for this deal, and it worked out. And I have to tell you, on the manifesting side of things, because there was zero expectation or attachment in my mind to doing this, unless it was perfect, it had to unfold perfectly. And it really sustained that sense of, I wouldn't say overall 100% perfection. There were a little bit of bumps in the road here and there at different times, but I'll say, like, on the whole, the property purchase was flawless. And then even when my inner voice threw me back to Australia months later, and I was like, what the heck, inner voice? Do not take me out of Australia. Buy me a place in Detroit and then send me back to Australia. Like, what are you doing with me? But I ended up going back there. And as I was there, my mom said, what are you going to do with your property in Detroit now? And I just knew the kind of the friendly unknown to that point of it. I just said, I don't know. It's going to figure it itself out. It's going to take care of itself. Because I knew my intuition, even though I didn't mentally have any attachment to going back to Australia until it unfolded and my intuition wanted me there. I was like, well, if it's going to put me here, it's going to have to do something with the property in Detroit. I didn't know what would happen, but eventually I got an Instagram message from one of our team members' friends who was working for a company that works as a, she was working as a consultant basically in Detroit and coming in from something like Chicago, and she needed to rent a place in Detroit. And so she ended up renting my flat as her executive rental. And I got an amazing return on that for the property because it was the company that was paying for the place that she was staying. And so while I was in Australia, eventually I had this person living there for 2 years while I still owned it. And then in the pandemic, I think it was 2021, the winter, while it was still kind of like the second lockdown, I was like, all right, she was done living there. So it's like time to sell the flat. And I found a buyer, and literally they bought it as soon as she moved out. It was pretty flawless in that sense as well. So it came into my life as a gift. It stayed in my life as a gift and a revenue stream at some points in the journey. And then it sold itself as a gift. So it was really beautiful unfolding into the friendly unknown. But it started with a magic day. Not even one that I even necessarily wanted to have, but I just surrendered and said, okay, what's going to happen? Mine's still a little bit scared and shaky, but it played out. So that is the most dramatic story I have to tell you by far when it comes to magic days. But it's just, you know, you don't have to look for something super dramatic and shiny and all those kind of things at all when it comes to your magic days. But just let yourself be surprised and delighted by opening up time to give you a potential you could not have expected or wouldn't have thought to do if you mentally were planning. And if you're curious on how to get started with that day, you kind of just go into alignment time mode. So what you do is you go, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to hyper plan this, but you kind of go with what feels most aligning to start off the first few minutes or hours of that time. And you flow from there. I even remember another magic day where, oh yeah, this is actually the magic day that flowed the week or two. Because I told you I was doing this a lot in 2018. What happened is another magic day that was really unexpected was a few weeks right before the Detroit property. Actually, I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I was staying at my friend Diana's house. It was so cute. She was maybe in New York or something. She wasn't there. So I was house sitting and just having a blast in her very adorable house because I didn't have a house for many years. So I was really loving this cozy vibe that she had. And I was thinking about buying a computer that was rose gold just as something to do. And then I don't know what happened, but something someone said, I knew my intuition was saying, no, you don't have to do that. Like, don't go to Apple and buy this different color computer just to have something to do. So I was like, okay, well, without something to do, let's just give it up. Let's just do nothing and see what, you know, like just basic alignment and see what the unknown brings me. So I went to the co-op and I got the ingredients for this pasta that I used to make when I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, myself in my old house. So I got the ingredients, I took them back to Diana's house and I started making this pasta. And then I sat on the sofa and I started watching Modern Family episodes. Just simple. I didn't go try to make anything happen. I just started with the next aligning step, which was making the pasta and then eating it while watching Modern Family. And what ended up happening was that time, this unknown, I had no idea what I was going to do the next weekend. There was open plans for days and days. But I ended up bumping onto Bumble. I think it was Bumble at the time, a dating app, and matched with someone that was in town that was one of the graduates from U of M as well that I went to the same university with and was about the same year as me too. Or maybe he was an MBA student. I forget the backstory to him exactly, but he was in town for a football game and we ended up having brunch before the football game and we really hit it off. And then we ended up having this nice little like weekend or 2 week, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks long, little romance. And he was living in Chicago at the time, just in town for the football game that he was coming in to watch. And then he's like, I want you to come to Chicago and stay with me. So then I ended up going to Chicago for a week. And that. Then I asked his intuition, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay and fly out of O'Hare, Chicago airport, to go back to London? Or do you want me to go on the Detroit flight that I already have? And this at the time was heartbreaking to me because his intuition said, to go to Detroit, which I knew meant that his intuition didn't really actually feel aligned to being with me. And so at the time, this is like the week before I end up going to Detroit, that was sad, but also it set me up to have the next magic day where I ended up dating the guy that I'd known for a really long time for a few months. And, you know, lo and behold, something else happened. It didn't stay. Neither of these people were the partners of my life, but they were a part of the journey along the way. And all along the way, the friendly unknown just kept surprising me, delighting me, dismaying me when dating didn't work out. But I could be very thankful now and say, I'm very happy I'm not with Mr. Chicago or with Mr. Detroit. Like, I'm definitely happy where I am now, who I am now, who I'm with now. So I could say that even though at those times how my mind might have labeled some of those potentials even negative, I can tell you right now, I can just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy, thank you, more please, more than all of what that was. And again, it just goes to show that the friendly unknown keeps surprising and delighting us. When we don't fight it, we become its friend, or at least just have enough courage to keep going and following the inner Yoda along the way. So there you have it, my friends. I hope you try some magic days here and there. Like I said, it could be an hour, an afternoon, a day, a weekend, a holiday, whatever you can handle, basically, within your time-space reality. It doesn't have to be every single day or every single in any specific cadence, but it is something to keep in mind and allow yourself to have, and just be surprised and delighted by the very cute and very friendly and very sweet dark matter, Dark Vader. Let him be cute. Let him surprise you. Let him be your best friend. I love you so much. And until next time, may something wonderful happen to you today.